The new exhibit, Emma Amos, Color Odyssey, is on view through September 12th at Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute. The first retrospective of this important artist's work, featuring more than 60 bold mixed-media paintings by Amos, an African-American woman who challenged society with her art on race, gender, and privilege. A companion exhibition, Call and Response, Collecting African-American Art, also is running through November 28th. It explores Munson Williams' efforts to enhance its collection with works by Black artists over the last 30 years. To tell us more, we welcome the wonderful curator at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute in Utica, New York, Mary Murray. Mary, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm fine. It's a delight to have you on the program. It's a delight to speak with you. I'm glad to hear you have this incredible exhibit. How are things going at the Art Institute?
Things are going very well. It's such a moment of reopening. It's very exciting to have our COVID restrictions lowering at the moment that summer is opening. We've had good feedback on the Emma Amos show, not unexpected response, but people who didn't necessarily know who she was are happy to discover the work. It's very vibrant, and I think it speaks to so many people.
So tell us, let us begin there. Tell us about Emma Amos and how this exhibit ultimately came about.
Yes, our museum acquired a painting by Amos in 2016. And when the Georgia Museum of Art at the University of Georgia was organizing this traveling exhibition, first inquired about borrowing the painting called Godzilla for the show, and then invited Munson Williams Proctor to be one of three venues on the national tour. So we're very honored to be included. Her work has not been widely studied or exhibited, but so this is a great opportunity for her to receive good recognition.
Is there a sense
she was born?
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
She was born in Atlanta in 1937. Her heritage is African, European, and Cherokee, and she was raised in a family that owned a pharmacy. So she was brought up in a nurturing environment of middle class, business class people, and was always encouraged in her aspirations to be an artist. Even though it was the Jim Crow era, Atlanta for her was a good environment to nurture those aspirations.
So is there a sense of what it was? Is it the time? Is it of why she wasn't more known at the time?
Yeah, I think yes. I think that there are many factors that contributed to the fact that we are only now just learning on this wider scale about her. The fact that she was a woman and a woman of color, the fact that she was dedicated to figurative work throughout the 60s and 70s when minimalism and post-minimalist art was considered like the highest form of intellectual achievement in the visual arts. The work itself addresses very clearly civil rights and feminism. But the thing about it, though, is that it's always from a positive point of view. And what I mean is that she addresses the issues straight on, clear-eyed, but there's no sense of victimization in Amos's work. She very much takes on the call to action. My favorite example of this is her self-portrait called Tightrope. She is standing on a tightrope, large, full-figured self-portrait, and she's got her paint smock on, and she has a wary look on her face, but underneath her smock is a Wonder Woman costume. So she is prepared. She has that metal within her to face any adversaries or problems she might encounter.
I mentioned in the introduction there's also a companion exhibition, Call and Response, Collecting African American Art, which runs through the 28th. Talk about the effort by the museum to enhance your collection with works by Black artists over really the past 3 decades.
Yes. The exhibition shows works from, say, the early 1950s to well into the 21st century. The museum acquired paintings and works on paper by Norman Lewis, an artist who lived between 1909 and 1979, through Edward Root, our great patron of 20th century American paintings and works on paper. And from there, the museum acquired in 1972 a small but quite fabulous collage by Rosemary Bearden, probably the best collage artist that the United States has produced. The museum has, since that time, acquired works by Melvin Edwards and Lorna Simpson, Betty Saar and her daughter Allison Saar, and so on. The museum has always wanted to create a good sense of the story or the history of American art. That is our main acquisition and collecting area. And to give a broader picture of that story or include different facets of American history through the visual arts, the museum has, since about the early 1990s, had many more acquisitions, although I would say that we have a lot of work to do going forward. But I think that this exhibition does demonstrate that the African-American story resonates in a rich way with the works of art that have already been acquired. We have, for instance, coupled works of Christian art by, say, Rembrandt and Ernst Barlach with works by Betty Saar, so that we can see a conversation happening between the Santeria and other spiritual practices represented in Betty Saar's work with the Christian history of our European and American backgrounds here.
And
that's just one example.
You know, as we've been mentioned in the introduction, and we've been talking about, but this is a companion exhibition to the one we were talking about earlier, Emma Amos. So how do you think they work in concert with each other, and what is that experience for the average viewer who comes to the Art Institute?
Thanks. That's a great question.
Oh, thank you. I'm filled with them.
Well, we typically try to do this kind of complementary exhibition from our collection if we're able. But this particular pairing is that much richer because there are some very good connections. Amos belonged to a group in the mid-1960s called Spiral, which was a group of Black artists in New York City who gathered on a weekly basis to talk about civil rights and artistic practice. And the members included Norman Lewis and Rosemary Bearden, for instance. So she was friends with these artists. She was a very active printmaker, and we have included in the exhibition Call and Response work by Robert Blackburn. And Blackburn was the proprietor for decades of the printmaking workshop in New York City. Many people came through his shop. When she was a young mother and decided that she had to give up her painting studio because of her maternal responsibilities, Blackburn encouraged her to continue to work in his shop to create works on paper in addition.
Mm.
So there are lots of these kinds of connections. The Other artists who went through Bob Blackburn's shop include Betty Saar, for instance. And we're going to have a printmaking presentation, Emma Amos's experimental printmaking, that will include not only the exhibition's curator, Shawnya Harris, but also Kathy Caracho, who was an apprentice with Bob Blackburn and went on to open her own studio where Emma Amos worked quite a bit. So I think it's a really interesting dynamic of the New York City art world, women working together and supporting each other, artists working together and supporting each other.
Well, it's all fascinating. The new exhibits are Emma Amos, Color Odyssey, which is on view through September 12th at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute. Also, Call and Response is a companion exhibition, Collecting African-American Art, that runs through November 28th. You can find out more information about all of this by going to MWPAI, which, yes, stands for Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute, MWPAI.org, MWPAI.org, for more information. Mary Murray is the curator, and I thank you very much for being with us. Mary, be well.
Thank you, and I appreciate your interest. You be well, too.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, it's MWPAI.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.